We shall continue as we have been expressing those writings that are in me. Word of God, the mystery is found in Romans chapter 8. Gavin is our designated reader. But you can read the 16th, 17th, and 18th verse in conjunction with it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, as we continue along, we have been expounding in this area for some time. It is certainly our privilege to look into the matter of things and get a crystal clear view. Our view is clear because our spirits are linked to the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the things that he expresses, when there is a proper link there, the messenger is clear.
Yes,
so we have moved down through our exposition. We have gleaned certain. First of all, that the Spirit is the communicator, the Spirit of Truth. And that is the only communication that can be put into the realm of truth. Anything outside of that communication is not truth. For as we have stated, the Spirit of God alone knows the thoughts and mind of God.
Yeah.
And it is He who communicates the thought, the will, the plan, and the purpose of God unto us.
That's right.
And outside of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, there is no way to comprehend what God has in store for us. And so God has so arranged it that some of us, not all of us, some of us, those of us who He has called and designated sons of God, those whom He has positioned in sonship, they have been assigned to the Holy Spirit, and His job, His main job, His purpose of Him, amen, the third function of the Godhead, identifiable as the Holy Spirit, His job is to convey unto us these precious truths. And we know these things because He is faithful to impart them unto us. Amen. So again, the Holy Spirit is the medium which conveys this knowledge. It's the essence of truth. Again, it is God's design that links our mind concomitantly with the spirit, a man of God. And it is from this that we have the capacity to receive God's inner fault convinced. Oh no, not all of them. Just the, oh my God.
Hallelujah.
There's some things that we won't know till we get to glory. But those that God has purpose for us to know.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, my deacon, read the 16th, 17th, and 18th verse. And then after that, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and read verses 12. Well, I tell you what, just read from Romans first, and then we'll move from there. All right, everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read.
Romans 8, beginning at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
At the church, amen.
Amen.
As I looked over this, Paul here, before he makes the statement concerning the trials and the input of suffering in our lives, he very clearly says that we, that is the elect of God, we are his children. We are the children of God. Here he is making the emphatic statement because there are some who they preach and they teach that suffering is not a part of our lot. Amen. I don't know what Bible they've been reading. Amen. And see, if mindsets are formed with the premise that we are to be immune from suffering, and of course you see that a lot as you turn on the television and you look at some of these ministries. They're talking about debt-free, worry-free, mm-hmm. trouble-free.
Mm-hmm.
You mean, I mean, they're seeking freedom from these things that are part of our walk and our life
mm-hmm.
as we sojourn through here. And Paul says, yeah, we are children of God, and we are heirs of God, we are joint heirs with Christ, and then he moves right on into suffering.
All right.
You know, to let you know that it is a companion mm-hmm. to, and it is God's design for those of us who are moving through the avenue of our sojourn. We are saved. We have been given our positions of sonship, and which entails the fact that we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, but you are still not exempt from the suffering. Amen. And it would be expressive of God that when we get to glory, this will be our testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That we have arrived, and oh, what joy that we have embraced. And whatever we have gone through, it was more than worth it. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Hallelujah. To the point that the testimony would be that I would gladly suffer. Amen. If this is the end, if this is the combination of the suffering. This is the results. Similar to the, when we see the process of childbirth. As a woman, she goes through the pain, and she goes through, starts that trauma, but I guess it is trauma to a point. If you ever been in the labor room and you hear the commotion, coincide, I remember sitting out there and said, this is ridiculous, but then I wasn't the one. I wasn't the one going through it. Amen. So who am I to talk? Amen. Oh my God. But then the joy that's expressed, that's just a human, a crude human illustration. But if you can expand my minds into the eternal realms of God, and we see, oh my God, the glorious existence that we shall be partakers in. Amen. Of course, if this is the territory we must travel through to get there, then bring it on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Bring it on. Hallelujah. So, those who are taking notes, five ways to avoid this, I got news for them this morning. There's no avoiding it. Amen. There's no way around it. But here, as he's a suffering, he also speaks of glory. He also speaks of that the fact that the glory far outshines or far outweighs the suffering. And if Christ deemed it that the glory, amen, will more than justify the suffering, and if our suffering is nothing like his suffering, oh my God, I'll let you draw the conclusion.
Amen.
This suffering in and of itself is nothing compared to the suffering that Christ has gone through. So many of the absent this morning, I'm kind of torn as to how to go through, because basically I'm going to be probably compelled to go back through some of this, if not all of this. I'll tell you what, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But Deacon, read verses 12 and 13, and we'll move from there.
Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Hold it, everybody got it, say amen. All right, read.
Getting at verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
All right.
Which things also we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the wisdom which man's wisdom, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
All right. Basically, this is where we, which launch out this morning. Let's focus on verse 13. Of which the contents he has just read. In fact, read 13 again.
With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Okay. Here he uses the expression man's wisdom. And that which man's wisdom teaches, and then the expression the Holy Ghost teaches. Man's wisdom teaches in the concept of humanity, humanistic things, and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit teaches, amen, in a completely different realm. When man's wisdom is in the sphere of that which is natural and physical, and the Holy Spirit teaches in the world of spiritual things. Here we have the expression spiritual with spiritual, or spiritual things with spiritual. From the Greek text, that verse reads, which things we also speak, not in taught words of human wisdom, but in teachings of the Spirit, comparing spiritual with spiritual, or spiritual things with spiritual. Again, as we said last week, and we will go back over a few things here, pastor, a minister who desires to be in alignment with the Spirit, must know the difference between the physical and the natural things that is communicated by human wisdom and that which is spiritually unseen and discerned only through or by the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of truth. And last week we talked about those that seek to convey through great orations of humanistic expressions those things that we may be familiar with, but these are not the instructions of God that He has reserved down through the ages and now has revealed to the church.
Yeah.
Amen. So the emphasis has to be on what the Spirit desires to be conveyed to our hearts.
Yeah.
So in this case, it must be on what is spoken or what is traced to the source of the message for the church, of instructions of the church. And Paul identifies the source of the message as he uses the Greek phrase entita tis pneumatos, rendered that taught by the Holy Spirit, that which is conveyed by the Spirit of truth. So the message is in the sphere of the teaching of the Spirit. So it must be clearly understood here that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is imparting to us those expressions of the revelations of the Scriptures. And thus, what we are seeking from the Word of God is God's intended thought, will, and purpose for us. Amen. It is found in the volume of truth called The Mystery. I like to refer to it as mystery truth. Amen. It is that which is despised, lightly esteemed by some, because it is purely on the spiritual plane. Not able to sit here and use your humanistic comprehension to receive the message. Amen. You must dwell in the Spirit in order to pick up the thought waves of God. Amen. As they expressed, it is a matter of the Holy Spirit conveying these to our hearts. Paul asserted he and his associates, they received and they spoke that which was directly taught unto them. That is the teachings and subject matter that was previously unknown And thus he is talking about the doctrines of revelation.
Absolutely.
So what it comes down to is justification, imputation, glorification, and these are not popular subject matters.
Come on.
Amen. In fact, some don't even view them as being relevant.
Uh-huh.
Not understanding that this is where you start, and from there, the vertical plane and comprehension of the thoughts of God and the plans of God and the workings of God, that we come to comprehend that, and from that plateau, amen, we look down upon our journey, and we are able to cope and deal with the things that are around us.
Yes.
Amen. Again, if words are the conveyances of thought, and if God designed that this truth should be accurately expressed in our language, in human languages, then there must be a case that there's divine supervision over the word usage.
Right.
And so the word, the spirit of truth in this sense, is paramount and is to be implored if accuracy is expressed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this conveyance of accuracy is the underlying evidence of truth. And truth, in essence, and follow me here, truth in essence is the express will, purpose, and plan of God.
Right.
Truth is what is actually going on.
Amen.
What is actually going on is the will, plan, and purpose of God. Somebody said, no, the happenings is what is going on over there in Iraq. I said, no. No. Iraq is incidental to the plan, will, and purpose of God. No. Somebody said, no. That it is what's going on over in Africa. No. What's going on over in Africa is incidental to the plan, purpose, and will of God. Someone said, No. It's happening in my world. That's what's really going on. No. What's going on in your world is just incidental to the plan, purpose, and will of God. Amen. That's the real happening.
Yes.
And it's hard for us to. that's very hard for us. Some of us, we can't get that. That doesn't make sense to some people. Amen. Because we think of what is going on is the fact that I'm married and I've got this family. I got to take care of them, so I got to have a job and got to eat, and we got these bills we got to deal with, and all of these things are happening. And hey, man, that's what life is. Again, that's incidental to the plan, purpose, and will of God. Amen. Because what you're going through, people for ages and eons went through before you got here, and if the Lord tarries, there will be those that are going through those changes after you leave here. Amen. But the essence of truth and the essence of life is the plan, purpose, and will of God. Now, to come to understand this, we look at the final phrase, verse 13. Are you with me this morning? Literally from the Greek text, it reads, pneumatika, synkludes. It is rendered comparing spiritual with spiritual, and of course, here the inference would be spiritual things with spiritual. That's one of the hardest jobs of the ministry. Because there's a challenge to keep the attention of God's people.
Come on, man. Say it.
You know, to not be boring. No speaker wants to be boring. No speaker wants to be so complex. And so many ministers, they avoid these spiritual things in order to be able to connect with the people. But you see, there's one very important factor that the ministry leaves out.
Yes.
That is the fact that he, as a minister, is servant of God, a vessel, amen, that is being used. And it's not about the minister. This is about the Spirit. And this is why Paul, at the same verses, uses the expression, our spirits and the Spirit of God. So, preaching and teaching is really about the Spirit of God communicating to our spirits. So it's not about me, and it is not dependent upon how well I say it, how clear I say it, but it is a matter of the Holy Spirit. This is why, each prayer that I pray before I minister, I pray, Lord, bless these lips of clay and touch them, for I realize that these are only vessels of I'm only a vessel of clay, and these lips are not able to convey the thoughts of God. But we must depend upon the Spirit of God. He knows us all about his eternity that's been around with him, to give the expressions to the spirits of those that God has called, so that we'll know the will and know the plan and know the purpose of God. This is what he means by comparing spiritual with spiritual. So this is all about spiritual. Follow me here. Here, in this phrase, we have two adjectives. Rendered spiritual. Now, they are expressed difference. Pneumatikis. And pneumatikar caused their declensions, and no, this is grammar, not so much Greek. Amen. Oh my God. The declensions tells how the noun functions in the sentence. And if we ever learn to use grammar in English, maybe we'll even have better communication with one another. Instead of just trying to figure out what is being said, the grammar would convey it to us what is being said. Amen. Now, here, these two adjectives are in the same sentence construction and in the same phrase. Except one is in the dative case, which is the indirect object, and the other one is in the accusative case, which is the direct object. So within the same phrase, within the same verse, we have two nouns, follow me now, and their usages are indirect and direct objects. Now, here, follow me closely. We're speaking about the phrase translated spiritual things with spiritual. Here we have a verb here, synkretendes, is translated comparing. It gives the inference of combining, compounding, and putting together, of forming the teachings of the Spirit. But when he forms and when he compounds and he compares, he is not comparing the conveyances as many teach of the spiritual things with natural things. And I know that Jesus used parables of, amen, but that was in the conveyance of the kingdom message. Amen. We are in the doctrine of the grace of God, of the teachings of the grace of God. This is information that God hid in his bosom and kept a secret to the end that Abraham never knew it. And Moses never knew it. And the prophets, Jeremiah and Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel never knew it. And the disciples who lived with him, who slept with him, who ate with him, amen, Matthew and James and John and even Peter, amen, never knew it, amen. And so these are the things that he kept, all the deep things of God, the spiritual things of God. Paul expresses it in the 11th chapter of Romans. He said, all the depth, oh my God, of the wisdom of God. Oh my God. Hallelujah. As he gives expression to the things of God and the things that God has done, he says the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. Amen. But they are knowable, they are available, oh my God, to those of us, amen, who are in this dispensation, have been designated as members of the body of Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit is making available to you that none of the patriots or the prophets, even the kingdom apostles, have. But it pleased God to call a man named Paul. Actually, his name was Saul. God changed it to Paul. He gave him a revelation. And this is the problem. It's not about things that you can eat. You can always draw a crowd.
Amen. Always.
If you feed them.
Always.
Huh? You draw a crowd.
Yeah.
And this is not to disdain some of the ministries that the church that have the social programs and the food. And that's okay up to a point. But that can never be the major. That must be the minor. Huh?
Yes, yes.
That can never be the drawing card. That can never be the focus. In this verse 13, when he says comparing spiritual, it's speaking of that the Spirit hears, it conveys the sense of interpreting or explaining spiritual things to spiritual men. I want to say that again. Here the conveyance is the sense of interpreting and explaining spiritual things to spiritual men. This phrase may also be rendered combining spiritual things with spiritual words, a wedding kindred speech to accurate thought. So the general sense of it is the conveyance of the thought of explaining spiritual things to spiritual persons. Now, from this, it should become apparent that the Apostle Paul is exclusively referencing the spiritual, eternal, unseen. here we focus on the Greek adjective pneumatika, which is the direct object. It's an accusative case. In this case, it is not denoting, you are following me now, it is not denoting physical or natural things. So preaching and teaching should not be about physical and natural things, but preaching and teaching should be about doctrines and subjects that emanate from the Spirit. Here is emphasis is on things spiritual in opposition to things fleshly, natural, intellectual matters. Thus, its focus is on the doctrines or subjects revealed under the auspices of the grace dispensation. And this is why Paul said, don't preach any other gospel. Amen. Because it has a way of moving the focus of what the Spirit, has for instructions and for information sake given to those who are the components of the body of Christ. So, the nature of the words, messages, and information that is intended for the body of Christ here is manifested as we look again at the indirect object of the adjective spiritual, pneumatikis. It defines it in the essence of we have the Spirit on a mission. And his mission is to make you understand the things not on man's plane, but on God's plane. Are you all following what I'm saying? Amen. He said, well, I want to take this Bible and break it down into my language. No. God wants us to take this, the Spirit takes it, and he breaks it down on God's plane, in God's language. I'll let that sink in a second. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
We want to understand it in our language.
Yeah.
And it is not understandable in our language. It is only understandable in God's language. And God's language is spiritual, not natural. This is what our problem is. Follow me, because I know I'm going to have to go back over this again. Here, again, going to the grammar, we have the masculine, a neuter gender, which infers the evidence of some noun that it is understood to modify. So as you look at this verse and you see the expression comparing spiritual with spiritual, amen. The fact that we have, of course we don't use any of this in English, but the fact that we have both the gender amplification here brings into play that these adjectives must be, even though it is not expressed, they are concomitant to some noun, either expressed or not expressed. And so when we say spiritual with spiritual, we have to look to hook it up with something to know what is being expressed. What spiritual with spiritual? What are you talking about? Amen. Follow me now. As we examine this verse, there are two nouns in the verse. Here we have the Greek word pneumatos, translated spirit, and we have logos, translated word. So what it is being construed here, what is actually stating is that spiritual things are explained by words which the Holy Spirit communicate to spiritual minds. Amen. Hence, such communications are adapted to the simple, pure, and elevated thoughts of God. So the characteristics not designed, as I said before, for gross tragic, it is not there for rhetoric to address the issues of human wisdom. But they are that has become the Spirit of God as He communicates the great, sublime, and yet simple truth to God's people. And so this would entail the process of explaining doctrines, and this is where we're coming to. The bottom line is that the Spirit here in this labor is to explain doctrines that pertain to the spiritual teaching and influencing words that are taught by the Spirit of Truth, and they are suited to convey in the most intelligible manner such doctrines to God's elect. And that eliminates, first of all, those who are not elect of God.
Hallelujah.
But then it's also going to eliminate those who insist on understanding through the mechanism of humanistic thinking and humanistic language and humanistic, you see, in order to get in tune with God, amen, you've got to leave the essence of the flesh and humanity and let the Holy Spirit communicate to your spirit, and which now, if you're in the realm of spirit, you're not into things that are things that you can physically connect with. Amen. And so, the chord that's going to be struck is not, those everyday things that you're familiar with, but those things, amen, of God, that are not seen. So what are you talking about, Pastor? You can't see justification. You can't take it to the bank. But you know what? That's what the happenings are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't see imputation. You can't take it to the bank. You can't see glorification. None of us sitting here can relate to glorification. And don't tell me that you can sit here in the body that you're in right now and relate to glorification.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Not can you. But you know what? That's what the happenings are.
That's it.
Man, that's what's happening. Glorification. Huh? Reconciliation.
Yeah.
That's what are going on. But if you are humanistically inclined, you're going to be poor. And the preachers are more afraid of being boring than they are of not conveying the message. But at the risk of being boring. Because you know what? I got faith in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. I have no faith in myself, but I've got faith that the Holy Spirit can get this over to you. That He will convey it to your spirits, and that you will internalize it, and that it will make all the difference in your life.
Life. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Someone said, well, you never talk about, things that we are involved in. Give us something that deals with everyday living. I can think of nothing no more relevant to your everyday life than if you get this. Because this will give you the instructions for going through the vicissitudes of everyday life. This will help you to make sense out of what you think is going on. Because after you know what's going on, then you won't be disillusioned by those things that you think are going on. I'm going to say that again. If you get to the point where you know what's going on, and remember now what is going on, what is really going on, the true happenings of the will, the plan, and the purpose of God. What you think is going on are the bills, your health, the welfare of your family. They said, well, but Pastor, aren't these things going on? They are going on only as we're able to understand that they are incidental to what is really going on. Some of us think it's all about our careers and our jobs.
Yes.
No. Lord could come along and wipe that job out.
Yes.
Say, no, Lord wouldn't do that. That would be the devil. No. It was the Lord that removed Paul from the Sanhedrin court. It was the Lord that canceled Paul's pharmaceutical credentials.
Come on with it.
Jesus. I go to the kingdom.
Come on.
It was the Lord who gave Peter and some of the others their retirement honors from being fishermen of men, a fisherman, and he said, I'll make you fishermen of men.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes.
It was the Lord. Who was that? Matthew, that was the tax collector?
Yes.
It was the Lord, amen, that canceled out that job. We live, we move, we breathe at the pleasure of God.
Yeah. Good.
And it is his priority to rearrange things as it pleases him. I was with someone yesterday and they kept, you know, talking about, man, you know, you had this and you had that, you had this going on, and, you know. I know you can come back and so on. I said, listen now, if there's something simple, it's not going to take my time. I said, let me go over this one more time. But my mind ain't even there no more. I don't care what they got. Because you may look at it as a demotion, but because, amen, God has given me a glimpse into the essence of the will, plan, and purpose of God, amen, I know that it is a promotion. Paul expressed it one time.
Come on.
He said,
yes.
I prospered and I profited more than many of my peers.
Right.
I'm just putting it in language.
That's right.
Many times.
That's right.
I rose to the rank faster than them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was almost there, so I thought.
Yes,
mm-hmm. But see, Paul had come to realize that it was a promotion, so he said, amen, I count those things but loss. He said, yea, even dung. You know what dung is. I don't have to get graphic. But I count it as dung, a waste for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. In other words, what I gave up is nothing compared to what I gave. Oh my God. You see, it is the spiritual man. It is the convinces that are on a target and in agreement with the language of God that brings you into this awareness. That's not about what's going on around you. One day you're going out of here. One day we're leaving out of here. Hear me. One day you're going to take off mortality and you're going to put on immortality. And where you worked and where you lived and what your profession was is not going to matter anymore. I know there's some that would like for me to go there. Don't you realize that all the things that were going on before you got here, if the Lord tarries, it will be going on after you leave here. And I don't care who you are, the world doesn't miss a beat, does it? Huh?
No.
A few of your friends, they may stop to memorialize you. And then don't hold that too long.
Amen.
Don't dwell that too long.
Come on.
Huh? What is preaching and teaching about? What should it convey? Here's what it is. Give me 10 minutes. This would then denote the process, follow me now, of explaining doctrines that pertain to the Spirit's teaching and influencing words that are taught by the Spirit of truth and are suited to convey in the most intelligible manner such doctrines to God's elect. That is the intention of information and instructions that are now revealed to the church, that they be inculcated into our spirits. Here, the idea of the Holy Spirit's present agency is evidenced as he communicates the doctrine and the mode of stating it. Amen. This is why you can't soup it up. There's no such thing as gospel rap. That's the worst mess I ever heard of. How are you going to get the essence of something and somebody says, justification is just, you busy bouncing with the beat. You know, when I see the movement, my mind's not working. That's why I hate that practice, and I don't know where it came from, and of course it is, I think it's just confined to an ethnicity of Afro-American conveyances of this thing where somebody jumps on the organ or the piano. And the preacher says something, they're going, boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He goes, ah! Boom, boom, boom. Oh! Boom, boom, boom. You know, hey, that sounds good. You know, everybody started rocking side by side. Then after a while, somebody gets up and started running down the aisle and says, woo! Five or six people up on their feet pointing, giving each other high fives, and then all that confusion. I bet if Apostle Paul walked into that convent, he said, what is this mess? If that was such a thing, that would incite him to write an epistle to the Afro-American church.
Yeah.
And what he would be saying is, stop this nonsense. We're more interested in entertainment than we are instructions and information. And so when you started talking about these spiritual doctrines, the average person in most of our churches, and this is not confined to the ethnicity, this is confined, this applies across the board, amen, across all denominations, the creeds, and across all ethnical lines, amen, you start to concerning these doctrines, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. And I beg to differ with those who say you have to give it to them in their language. No! We don't. What are we going to do? Bring God down and cause them to speak our language? It's a balance that we need to speak God's language. Which is it? Let me wrap up. Accordingly, listen closely. The designation of the terminology Word of God is confined to that which is spiritually communicated by the Holy Spirit. Word of God is spiritual. Now, as we refocus on that 16th verse again, Brother Deacon, I want you to go back to Romans 8. Don't close your Bible now. Don't ever do that on me. We're in trouble when we close the Bible. See, that's what we've been used to doing that. Because that's what the preacher, you know, he gets up and he reads that one scripture to at least make it legal. Amen. And then he goes to philosophize.
Yes.
Amen. We never left the Bible now.
Yes.
All right, read.
Verse 16.
Everybody got to say amen.
Romans 8:16.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit itself mm-hmm. beareth witness with our spirit.
All right, we've gone through all of that. We know what now, with the Spirit, the communication.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the Spirit telling us?
That we are the children of God.
That's it. How do you know that you're a child of God? I remember when we used to baptize years ago, and I ran across a tape that I preached some years ago. Oof. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
For understanding.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, we used to have the practice when we used to have water baptism ceremonies. And of course, you try to make it as dramatic as possible. You know. We would be praying. We would say, trouble the waters. Trouble the waters.
You know? Yes.
You see, I think we don't need to do any of that. The Spirit of God has conveyed to you that you are children of God. Give me 2 minutes. As we look with a clear understanding of the Holy Spirit's role in testifying, a witnessing to our spirits, we note the essence of the message communicated. That is, we are children of God. Hear the Greek phrase, otes mean tekna, theo, is translated that we are the children of God. It conveys the understanding that we have been placed in son's positions, in son positions, and as such, we have, I use the term missive, it only means the epistle of the writings. We are learned through the letter, but it is the letter, amen, that has been expressed by the Spirit. We have the language of God. We have the thought convinces of God that causes us to recognize God as our Father. This is certified by the fact that the Spirit, simateri to pneumati imon, it is rendered, it bears witness with our spirit. Really, it says that he has his testimony that we are children in the family of God. I want you to take these scriptures down and then we'll close for the day. Romans 9 and 8. I'll buy the tape, either one. I want you to read them. Romans 9 and 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Galatians 4 and 19. And Ephesians 5 and 1. I'm going to read them again. Romans 9 and 8. 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 15. Galatians 4 and 19. And Ephesians 5 and 1. You can buy a tape. Now, our focus must be on being obedient to the Spirit of God and the true assignment that God has given us. The essence of it is that we are the recipients of a great line of communication that flows from the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes.
And I think if we ever come to understand this, we take preaching and teaching and the Word of God more seriously than we do. Forget about me, forget about the pastor, forget about the preacher, forget about the teacher. When the Word of God is flowing, amen, that is actually the expression between God and you. I said it again and I said out. When the Word of God is being conveyed, it is a transaction. It is a transaction. Everybody said transaction. Between God and you. And that is the reason some get it and some don't. Amen. Because the Spirit works and moves as He wills. Give the Lord a hand, praise.
Praise God.